cow waxing.
Yep.
Ooh, Giga.
Yep.
That's an acceptable.
Giga is our XV tonight.
That's an acceptable substitute.
I hear double driver.
So do I.
No, I don't hear double driver.
Lost driver.
It's lost driver, then.
I hear hatred and envy.
It actually is a double driver that I stuck it in.
Oh, well. Still, a skull memory.
What is skull a left or right side memory?
Right.
It's silver tipped, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
It's so silver.
So you could have, like, skull joker.
Yeah.
Entertain us. Provide for us.
Though, the timing is different on Skull Eternal and the T2 Jokers.
Oh, so they don't work?
Well, they do work. It's that the music starts sooner.
They're not made for the double driver.
Because they're meant to just work on their own and weren't designed to be... to have the timing with the gold memories.
I guess that would make sense, because otherwise they would just say skull, and it'd sit there for a while.
Yeah. As I'm with Jokers, if you have the T2 Joker and the regular Joker, the T2 Joker's music will start while the other one's still saying Joker.
Mm. So you could have Joker Joker?
So yeah, he sticks his memory in the driver, checks his watch. Okay, there we go.
Oh, thank you, Paladin, for reminding me that I need to get a drink. Hold on.
This is Superhero Time. With Hey Mickey.
Blowjob reference.
Paladin.
Taste the magnificence.
Ken.
I believe the term is, it's not going to suck itself.
And Fort Max.
Okay, it's back in.
With special guest.
God damn it, Detroit.
Let's f*** this turkey.
Yes.
Isn't that how a turducken works?
What? Basically, yes.
And you're listening to the shit turducken that is Superhero Time. XV is gone because he's waxing his cow. But in his place, we have Giga Beetle, all the way from Sweden.
Hi.
Hello.
You seem like you're happy to be here.
I am. Right?
Well, it's been a while, so we'll work that right out of him real quickly.
Yay. Awesome. I'll try to keep my enthusiasm up.
So without XV here to guide us, I guess I am inserting my penis into the show and guiding it towards this climax.
Your train penis?
Yes, my train penis.
All right, it'll be a quick show then.
Your mom's a quick show. I'm not crying. Shut up. Do the news.
Do you see any tears?
No, it was over too fast.
Wow, we've already broken Giga. That's fast.
Giga likes short penis jokes.
Apparently. Maybe he just likes short penises.
We're recording this, right?
Yes.
That is important to confirm. We are recording this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
Very good.
And then it turns out the recording starts now.
He's like, yeah! Click.
Before Fortnite sends the audio file, he will have attached his own intro where he imitates all of us.
I would actually pay to hear that.
I'm sorry I spoiled your plan.
Okay, now total silence as Paladin regales us with news.
Well, there's not a whole lot this week, so... Hey, apparently somebody remembered Ultraman Ginga was a thing, so it's getting a second season with a new character. Ultraman Victory.
Does that have a budget?
Probably not. It does have Koichi Sakamoto.
Will Ultraman Victory have a skirt?
Actually, that's not a bad thing. Koichi Sakamoto did the Zero's first movie, which was quite good, actually.
The question is...
And how long ago was that?
About five.
No, here's the question. Does Ginga have the budget to have a person to keep him from doing stupid stuff?
Oh, dear.
I don't know. I'm not too familiar with Ultra budgets, but based on how much we've followed Ultraman Ginga, I'm going to say no.
Well, Ultra budgets used to be nice. Used to be.
There also used to be Ultraman shows.
Yeah.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Now that's an intro quote laugh.
So yeah, the new costume looks okay, I guess.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's nice to see an Ultra in colors other than blue and red.
Yeah, it's red and black and yellow.
I like his forehead.
It's like he's got a proud little crown on, like he's the king of Ultraman world.
Which he
Except
might be
there's already one of those.
Oh, God damn it, Fort Max.
Just gonna help
we know.
Himself.
We know,
help
but...
Himself. It's called a joke, man.
He kind of reminds me of Walt Skill a little bit.
Oh my God,
Is that a good thing?
If he had arm tassels, it would be a good thing. He does not have arm tassels, however.
Well,
so it is...
If he had arm tassels, then his action figure would suck.
How did the figure arts of Walt Gill handle it?
Did anyone buy that?
Poorly.
They straight up stuck out. So if you had the arms straight down, good job you. You have a boring pose, but the tassels make sense.
Beyond that, you know, it's just, you know, a stabbing instrument.
I wonder how hard it would be to just cut them off and replace them with actual tassels. I'll just go to the fabric store and just glue some in there.
You do that with your $100 web exclusive toy.
If you do that, you break something. Like,
I'd be surprised if someone hasn't tried that yet, though.
Or you could just put them in like sunlight for way too long and they don't melt.
Or you could, you know, buy the $8 Saban version and test that out first.
Why would you do that?
Does the exact same thing.
Oh my God! If Walt Skill and Victory like. Kiss, their foreheads would clash.
Wow.
It's just simple biology.
Working on your fan fiction already?
You insert a Walt Gill head into the Victory head, and 9 months later, you get a baby.
Insert.
Yes. I wanted to stick things in his forehead gap.
Wow. At least he's honest.
No, but I mean, like, if I had a forehead gap like that, I'd like, oh, what's that? Pens? Awesome.
You could totally use it to open beer bottles.
I would stick my figure arts there.
Well, you'd stick your figure arts
there. There's an intro quote.
Where
you could just a regular hat, though, couldn't you?
Where wouldn't you stick your figure arts? Silence.
A Klondike bar?
They don't go... If you work hard enough, they'll go up anywhere. You know about sounding?
Oh, God. No, I don't.
It has to do with sounds, right?
Right, and not batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, listeners.
Well, I'm frightened now.
No, you're not.
No, okay, so listeners, right. Go out and search what sounding is. You'll thank me later. Good job.
Yeah, do it at work.
Yes, of course.
That would be safest.
Around family. Yeah. Bring your daughters to work day? You have that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, yeah, none of our listeners have daughters because, you know, well, they're listening to our show.
You're f***ing useless, listeners. You're awful.
We inspire impotence.
Ken.
There's a tagline for the show.
Yeah, there's a bumper. Superhero time. Inspiring impotence.
What is superhero time even about nowadays? Like impotence?
Apparently impotence.
Sometimes Tokusatsu. Well, actually, no, we're actually covering both Rider and Sentai now. It's amazing.
And possibly Garo as well. Didn't think we'd ever have three weeklies to look at.
We could have four too.
Super Mega Force does not count, Fort Max.
Oh, after V, after Fives being subbed.
Fives?
No, that's that parody Sentai thing we talked about briefly a while back.
That is essentially the Astro Fighter Sunred Cheers show.
Oh.
Does that mean anything to anyone here?
Vaguely.
Overtime subbed something called Astro Fighter Sunred, but I never bothered to find out what it was.
Yes. Back way when they were doing Double.
2003.
Giga, tell us about Hibiki.
Hibiki's cool. He has nice thighs, because, like, when you stretch them out, he, like, doesn't get a gap. It's cool.
I thought the gap between your thighs was a good thing nowadays.
Yeah, but he fills it out.
Well,
with, like,
certain fashion circles they can think otherwise.
No, but that's actually very nice, because if you look at any other one with a type 1 hip, and you spread them apart, you'll get this weird thing.
Yeah,
he sort of circumvents that by having thicker things between his thighs.
Testicles?
Testicles. I could not have worded that any better, I think.
Really, you could.
Not on your show, you couldn't.
I particularly like this coating of shiny purple they have on him.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, and I want this figure.
Unfortunately, he doesn't come with a open mouth head.
And unfortunately, pre-orders went up yesterday, and he's all sold out everywhere.
Wait, we're just going to gape over that?
Yes, we are.
This is probably the best Eddie Hibiki toy has sold.
Well, yeah, no shit.
I kind of get a feeling Bluefin will bring him over, though.
Yeah.
It's a very good possibility, I think.
As the star of his own show, yeah, he'll sell.
Although so far they haven't announced any of the Gaim figure arts.
Could that be because of, like, reasons?
I'm sure it's reasons, it's just probably not good ones.
They have tried.
For the Gaim?
They've tried to get Gaim figure arts.
In the meantime, they're also bringing over Figo Arts, Masked Rider Super Gold, and Lee Angle, in case anyone cares.
No.
Didn't think so.
Super Gold has a really long neck. That's kind of cool.
like Magnet State's neck is long?
Or is it more like a lot of neck long?
I don't know who that is, Fort Max.
Go say red.
I don't know who that is, Fort Max.
He doesn't want Sentai!
No, but it's just oddly long. I don't like that. Hibiki has a nice neck. He sort of has, like, the turkey fat that old ladies get, but looks nice.
What?
Wow.
No.
Here's Gosei Red's neck. Alara.
What's that other picture?
That is photoshopped.
No, it's not.
What the f***? He's more neck than man.
His neck actually looks like that.
He's like one of those Kamino aliens.
You see it in every damn episode.
Like, what does he do? Does he wrap his head around people and choke them? What is he, a boa?
Well,
that has got to be
an ostrich sword.
Did they use, like, a f***ing fish lens or something? This can't be f***ing real.
It certainly is.
Oh my god.
Deadly it was.
The Ghost Agers were a generally freaky looking group.
What the f***? He's like Magnet States.
Gosei Pink has huge ears. Gosei Black is a stick. Gosei Blue is incredibly tall.
He's like 30 feet tall. He's actually taller than the Megazord in human form. And then Yellow's just kind of there, being boring.
That sums up Ghostsinger itself, really. It's just kind of there.
Yeah, being boring.
It's not even interesting enough to be boring.
Wow. It just exists.
You just get mad at it for being there.
Where does his neck go when he henches? I mean, we talked about... there's been talk about where Doggy Kruger's f***ing snout goes. This is f***ing also weird.
Maybe the neck and the snout go to the same place.
The basement?
Just,
the trigger magnum?
Yes. So do we. So, what else we got going on?
Here's a walkthrough of the Garo exhibit at Anime Japan 2014, including some new shots in motion of the anime. And apparently for this new animated show, the current Mekai Knight's name is Leon.
That's like lion sounding.
So yeah, let's go with that.
So he's going to die pretty quickly.
At least by the end of the series.
Well, it looks like an expensive series, so yeah, I can't rule that out.
Yeah.
Speaking of anime conventions, whatever happened to Apollo Smile?
Apollo Smile?
What?
Apollo Smile, the live-action anime girl. I'm sure Don knows what I'm talking about, but that's really
of
not helping my case.
Don does.
She was the voice of Ooh La La on Space Channel 5.
That art style looks familiar. I just can't place it on that image.
Well, we know it's by the same studio that did Space Dandy. I just can't remember the name.
Bones?
Yeah, well, yes, studio, yeah, but I'm talking about designer. Interesting.
So, yeah, I'll check that out when it's finally airing. It's probably a few months or years off, though.
Yeah, probably not until next year. I imagine... I watching the first episode of Mekai no Hana, I get the feeling they kind of... Whatever budget they didn't use in the last series, they were saving for this one. So they might give it another year there and use the anime to kind of fill space.
Definitely can't rule that out. I won't complain about Mekai no Hana filling space for now. I only saw the first episode before we started the show, and I liked it.
Same.
I'll give it a shot at some point.
Well, it does have the main Garo writer back.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Keita Amame is back. And it does distinctly show.
They seem to be putting in a lot of references to the original show.
There are not... Well, there are... The references are kind of subtle. They're not direct beyond Raiga and Gonza, really, so far.
And that's one other question I wanted to ask. How the f*** old is Gonza by now, anyway? Because wouldn't he be like 90-something by now?
Shh. Don't question it. Demon magic or something. I don't know. Even though he's normal. Any other news?
Well, here's a good example of Arg Saban or Bandai right now. I just want to hear your reactions.
Oh, God. Let's see here.
Perfect.
Why would you do that? Wait, don't answer that.
Did Don send you this?
Oh!
I'm sorry, Don. I'm not sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm a bit worried about how not sorry I am.
You're
and you're on the right show.
Sorry, you are.
You know what the sad thing about this is? It's actually nicer than most Halloween costumes. I mean, the belt actually looks pretty tight. By tight, I mean, you know, restrictive.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, accurate. Accurate.
Uh-huh.
It also looks kind of photoshopped on.
Yeah, it kind of does now that you mention it.
As in, it doesn't cover the whole waist. Same thing with a f***ing helmet that just cuts through a f***ing ear and head.
Well, maybe it's like one of those little cardboard or plastic masks with just the rubber band around the back.
Maybe. I really shouldn't be.
Tiara,
that girl
probably
looks
stops
like she's
even
in
reaches
pain.
Her ear.
I am monumentally bothered by this.
Yes.
That's gross, Ken.
What?
You're all bothered by it.
No, God, no. Hell. Is disturbed a better word?
I can't think of a way to twist that into something perverted, so.
Okay, good. I'm disturbed.
She keeps looking into my soul, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Close the window.
I'm gonna go.
I don't think she wants me to do that.
Mickey, close the window.
She says she'll hurt people.
I'm gonna go back and look at Gosei Red because he freaked me out less.
I just got to close my eyes and picture a lot as Nick.
It will okay, save yeah, me.
That's wiped it out. Okay, so let's close on something fun here and likable of the Atomic War Godzilla toy in action.
Has anyone found those new Godzilla toys yet?
Well, I've seen this one at Toys R Us several times. It's amazingly fun and stupid.
Damn. No one in my area has anything new.
Oh my god!
Isn't that the best?
That's awful!
Holy crap!
He puked so hard it snapped its neck.
His head splits open like Terrence and Phillip, and he just like barfs out a baseball bat of atomic fire.
And it glows. It glows.
The best part is that it stays attached to his throat. Which means it's like caught in his trachea gagging himself.
With the force it comes out at, I'd be afraid if it came out. Yeah, it's just work with that however you want to.
See, I like this because like most normal toys would just fire a missile.
Yeah.
Now this, let's make it eject a baseball bat out of its throat.
After it decapitates everything above its jaw.
Yeah. That sounds great. Let's do that.
It kind of reminds me of an oversized Attactrix. You know those Star Wars Transformers ones?
Yeah, yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
Except even stupider. Somehow.
You think this is stupid? Wait till you see the movie.
I gotta disagree with you. I think the movie's gonna be good.
Was it?
Well, they have every right to prove me wrong.
Didn't Toei go out like officially and say they'd seen it and they liked it? Toho.
The director did a movie called Monsters, which was very, very good.
See, I f***ing hated that movie.
Which shot is
oh, then you're just wrong and tasteless. But that's okay, because we know that.
Humans around a bit.
Or the one with Halle Berry.
No, that's Monster. This is Monsters.
With Charlize Theron?
I think that was Monster.
No, that's Monster's Ball. What?
No, there's two of them.
What?
Two balls.
Okay.
Usually, anyway.
Don't think it's a too creative title when you make a movie, because that might screw people over. Good job, movie.
No, yeah,
still, it might be better than some of the other crap this summer.
Like Captain America.
This?
Yeah, actually, I'm thinking of Days of Future Past right now.
That looked great. Yes, this is it.
Maybe I should just watch it again, then.
The important thing to remember this about Monsters is it's a low-budget movie, and it's more about focusing on people in the event of giant monsters than the giant monster itself.
Hmm. Interesting. Which actually seems... At least the trailers to Godzilla seem to be focusing a lot on that, although with much more, carnage and Godzilla.
Yeah. And plus, it's got the dad from Malcolm in the Middle in it, which, you know, he's great and everything.
Oh, yeah. But that last trailer, I saw it right before Captain America, and it was impressive.
Is that the one where they tease his backstory of why he's so pissed off?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more with, God, I forget his name. Bryan Cranston, the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, he was also in Power Rangers.
Yes, he was.
In Seinfeld.
And Breaking Bad.
What? That's unheard of.
I like how we keep... Everybody just avoids that one thing.
Yeah.
One thing good everybody enough. Knows him from now.
Everyone knows him from that, but I like him in Malcolm in the Middle. I don't really like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad is depressing.
Yeah, Breaking Bad is not bad. It's
no,
good
no.
quality. It's
yeah,
just it's, not what I find entertaining.
Yeah,
I respect it, but I don't like it.
I recognize it's a very good show. It is not the kind I'm going to enjoy.
It's sort of the same thing as The Sopranos, where like, yeah, it's great. I don't like gangster stories. I don't want to watch it.
But yeah, this last trailer is the first one that really actually showed much of the plot or characters or anything. So, they've been... doing a much better job of keeping things close to the chest than they did the first time with Sony.
Basically with Godzilla
and look
movies,
how well that turned out.
Yes.
If you're not going to go full-on cheesy cliche Godzilla, like, say, Godzilla 2000 was, which was amazing,
yeah,
then you've got to have a really strong, compelling cast.
And this does have a strong, compelling cast.
So that's, I think that they're going to actually make a good movie rather than a cheesy, dumb, fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Leave that to Japan when they get it back.
Yeah.
They do it better.
We've already had G2K and Final Wars, so, you know.
Yeah.
Will there be a superhero time the next Godzilla episode?
We've talked about it.
It's come.
We considered doing another one like the Pacific Rim episode.
If no one was in that.
You were in it.
I tried to be, but I wasn't. Yeah.
I didn't see Pacific Rim until after it came out on DVD, so.
So we can all wait for DVD for Godzilla, I think.
No.
Ken especially can wait. Ken is just eager to wait until it comes out on DVD. No,
Netflix.
What we need is to turn Fort Max into a Godzilla nerd. So he can memorize all the Godzilla trivia for us.
Can you do that over the summer? Please?
No.
You do that in the next month.
Well, could you do it, but you're just not going to?
That would require effort.
There we go. At least there's some honesty. That we already knew was going to be the answer.
Besides, you guys don't need knowledge of Godzilla for the Godzilla episode. You proved that before.
What I hate is you probably actually heard the Godzilla episode.
I did. It's like my favorite one.
And it is thing, so dreadfully awful.
The bad thing is I still haven't gone back and listened to that because it was before my time. I really should.
As bad as the archived episode is, recording was so much worse because there's like five times as much silence in it.
Those archives are still active, aren't they?
I think so.
You should rectify that.
Because I know iTunes only goes back so far.
Yeah, I think the website goes back all the way. It goes all the way to the back. Reaches all the way around back there. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, bless you, Giga. Bless your heart.
All right, enough f***ing around. Let's go on to weeklies.
So where do we start this time?
I guess I have to decide, don't I?
Yes.
Since I'm surrogate XV.
I thought Giga was surrogate XV.
No, he's surrogate Mickey, actually, which is why he's the awesome one.
Actually, that does explain a lot.
Paladin, do Tokuger.
All right.
I see what you're doing. Go on. Go, 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 go,
go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go. That's one excuse to berate someone for every time he makes a pun.
Well, that and you know that XP might have to edit this later.
I didn't think about that at all. What are you talking about?
Okay, found it. So, it starts off with Wright walking into the train car, hungry as usual, and Kagura is upset about the secret stash of owner's DVDs that she found hidden somewhere.
They were apparently not actually Car Robots DVDs.
That's not...
I don't think that was what we suspected they were.
Yes!
Well, Caboose does say that, you know, he's got a lot of different DVDs.
Yeah, a lot of different movies.
Or Wagon, whatever the hell her name is.
Oh, you were close enough the first time.
Not Caboose better.
Yeah, let's just go with that from now on. So, it turns out Kagura was a fan of Owner's Ninja Flicks. And decided to do the natural Kagura thing and play Ninja after watching them.
Ninja
she
Pink.
Is very Kaku Ranger in,
yeah.
In there.
And to help her out, she finds Hikari's ball in a cup.
Kendama.
Ball in a cup.
Except she's a little over-enthusiastic this time and breaks the ball off the string. Right in front of Hikari.
And Hikari's going to murder her.
And Hikari's
he certainly looks like it, doesn't he?
Yeah,
you first notice that the ball almost nails him right in the face, except he moves out of the way and it breaks the window instead.
I think Giga just pointed out what I was going to, is that why the f*** is he wearing Crocs?
Well, because you can't be barefoot on a train.
But Crocs.
You can't wear Crocs anywhere. If you wear Crocs,
he just has a crappy imagination.
Oh no, I wear Crocs to Red Lobster all the time.
What the f***?
It's a restaurant.
Yeah, I know that, but what the f***? In public?
You have Red Lobsters in Sweden?
No, but I know... No, when we boil them, they go red, but not the restaurant. No, but like, you can't wear that in public.
He's right, you know.
I wear them with black socks and shorts.
That's literally like wearing a bathrobe.
Which he probably does, too.
Crocs, black socks, shorts, heavy winter coat.
Bathrobe.
You left out the hat. And
fedora.
There you go.
I respected you once. That was a mistake.
Now you worship. I understand.
Oh,
anyway, I think we're 30 seconds into the episode.
So far, broken balls, porn, and Crocs.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. While Kagura's debating whether or not Hikari can forgive her for her dumb attitude, they are alerted that the next station has been taken over by the Shadow Line. And Ticket tells him, hey, get out and fix this right away.
I'm surprised he said please.
It's probably sarcastic, please.
Yeah.
Like, would you stop being a dumbass, please?
And it turns out everyone at this new station is marked with a strange red X on their face and has lost all motivation to do anything. I know the feeling right now. So in comes the stamping monster, and we get our first fight of this episode. Which goes okay until three of the Tokyuters receive the anti-motivational stamp and decide to just give up and... Well, what's the point, anyway?
I like when Wright gets stamped, he just lays down in front of the monster, gets kicked over, stepped on, he just...
And he can stamp them through their helmets, too.
Although, points to Mio for actually damaging it.
Yeah.
Where nobody else did.
So now, surprise, surprise, Kagura and Hikari have to work together to defeat the monster.
Oh shit, it's a green and pink focus episode. How did I not see that coming?
And after seeing how unmotivated everyone else is, Wagon decides to go on strike.
The best part in this episode here is when Ticket just starts railing on her.
Yeah, while she's busy taking slutty selfies with the depressed crew, Ticket's like, what the f*** are you doing, you stupid bitch? Stop that.
Like, we can just go to the next stop. He's like, no, the f*** we can't. Did you sell your brain, too?
Apparently.
And the conductor just has to cover his mouth, and you can still hear him mumbling beneath it, and it's like... Oh, well.
I like how Tokyuger is the sentai that handles labor strikes.
It's socially minded.
Why? Yeah.
Shame on owner. Labor dispute.
I like how Ticket ends up making signs for them, too.
Well, it's no Arakawa social commentary episode, though.
Nah.
Those give us things like, God Noodle.
God Noodle?
From Jetman?
Noodle.
The Noodle Cup?
Oh, the Noodle Cup, yes, okay. That was social commentary?
Yeah.
That episode was.
I could barely pick up on his themes.
Noodles.
So, the Shadow Line are enjoying some vintage darkness brought in by the stamp monster, and hey, somebody remembered there's a fourth villain costume.
We do get to see here that there is some... basically three different kind of bits of infighting going on.
Not quite Gaimus, but yes, the various villain factions are trying to plot their own agendas right now.
And I'm sure one of them will end up killing the other at some point.
Right.
I just really love the one with the top hat and the Assassin's Creed doctor nose.
Yes.
That costume.
Nero, I believe.
I like the face hugger on his hat.
Yeah. It's like the face hugger was stupid and like latched onto the hat. Like, it's how his hat is filling up with alien semen or whatever the hell they put in you.
You really don't appreciate the amazing Tokyuger villain designs until you get scenes like this.
Mm-hmm. While Schwartz is still licking his wounds, metaphorically.
And turns down the bottle that Greta gives him because he wants to recover the old-fashioned way.
Brutally.
Basically, he's a shonen protagonist as a villain.
Yeah, basically.
So while Ticket whips out her strike signs, Hikari decides to do the most unexpected thing, and he apologizes.
You know, they should never have a close-up of Pink's teeth, because I don't think she owns a toothbrush.
That's Japan in general, actually. We've
seen worse.
Don't be a racist.
We've seen worse. Spoken Black's teeth are
yes.
The stuff
those
of nightmares.
Teeth. I've seen those. Those aren't teeth. Those are like shards of glass that's dirty or something.
Those are those Halloween wax lips things. I like how Wagon is having her labor strike, and she's just dressed up the depressed Tokusers. And then if there's still lying around, they don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's outsourcing her striking.
They're like, hell no, we won't care.
So Hikari admits that, yes, she was an idiot for playing with the ball and cup, but he shouldn't have reacted like a murderous rampaging bastard.
Well.
So it's a good moral for both of them.
Don't be stupid. Don't try to break your friend's skulls.
And yes, you are kind of stupid when you play pretend like that, but that's who you are, too. And that's a very nice touch that I like from Hikari.
I like this part with the monster next, where it kind of adds this bit of fridge horror to what he's been doing. And where he tells this next guy that he stamps, just lay there until breathing is too much of an effort.
Yeah, that's a little creepy.
Yeah, because then you're thinking about, what about all those other people from, like, an hour ago? Oh.
They're dead as shit.
How long has he been doing this?
He's given them all COPD.
Just slowly dying because you don't care. That's more than a little disturbing.
Going back to what Hikari said to Kagura, you know, you're kind of stupid, but that's cool, I guess. That's something
people
that deserves.
Really appreciate that from them.
That's a statement that really needed a bless your heart at the end of it.
Yeah, I think it's more like that. Yeah, I don't understand why you find doing that so fun, but hey, not harming anyone.
Usually.
Yeah. Bless your heart, you're just not all that bright.
But I love you anyway.
So, Hikari and Kagura finally find the monster and decide to take him out with Human Katadoma.
This is the best attack.
Yes.
It is. At first I was like, just what the hell are they Oh. And then in the middle of that, we also get the best use of the color swapping.
Yes.
They change colors and also weapons in midair so they can catch the monster off guard and keep attacking.
I like how Kagura becomes very hard.
I was wondering how long that would happen until that came up.
She's like five.
She's also a girl.
She's also very hard. Super hard.
Don't make this too complicated, Ken. It's Quark, Max. You're correcting. Don't
She's hard enough to win the fight, and that snaps everyone back to reality.
Well, how can she be hard? She's not old at all.
I feel like you're referencing something that I'm not quite remembering.
Moving on.
Something so, Megatron said in immediately... the G1 cartoon.
Okay.
About being old because he... Well, about being old because he's hard or something.
Uh-huh. I half remember that.
Old and hard.
So the Tokyo's immediately snap back to reality and wonder what the f*** are these signs we're holding. And then it's time for another imagination bullet.
Who'd they just hand off to Kagura?
Who brings out a giant stamp that hits him with the word, the kanji for finished.
I like they were saying, oh, she'll use something from the ninja Oh, never mind.
Which means the ninja movie was completely irrelevant to everything. Hooray!
Basically. Get the first 30 seconds.
Until they bring out Tokyo and attach the car carrier and use ninja flying cars.
So it was relevant. Double yay.
Yay, either way.
And for once, the unique finisher attack is with the mecha.
That's also kind of rare too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how much Tokyo's design has grown on me.
I totally don't even mind it now.
It is so different once you see it in action.
How much of the rowing was the deck?
Yeah, I think Train Dong is sort of what pushed me over the edge into loving it.
Oh.
Big surprise.
Oh my.
And then it turns out Wagon's trying...
Hello.
Hello?
Bye, Paladin.
Oh, God. Not again.
You're back now.
Back. Okay.
Your whining brings you back to life.
How encouraging.
Okay, now speak about Wagon again.
And it turns out Wagon Strike was successful after all because she got a raise. And uses it to give strange miscellaneous new merchandise to the Tokyugers. And some extra food for Wright, of course.
I think it probably just did it to shut her up.
Yeah, his patience only lasts so long.
What patience?
I bet exactly. They drop her salary back down to what it was originally a week from now, and she'll completely have forgotten about it.
She just doesn't notice.
But then they are interrupted by a special message saying we have located a support Resha.
Tune in next week for new toys.
And a ripoff of a Denzel Washington movie.
Which one?
Man on Fire.
Ooh, Denzel!
So yeah, that was an okay episode, I guess.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And fill space in between now and getting the Diesel next week. Or this week. Whichever.
It was worth it just for Kendama Girl, because that was a pretty
brilliant... That was kind of an amazing fight scene.
Yes.
More like that, please.
Yes. And they seem to be doing pretty solidly so far, so I'm not... I'm almost kind of past the point of... Well, is it going to keep being so? Okay, yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, with Gaim being fantastic and serious and dramatic, it's nice to have Tokyo be Sentai silliness at its finest.
But still able to take it seriously enough that you give a shit about the characters.
Yeah.
Which is the best way to do it.
Whereas Kyoruger was like, you know, all the humor of a greeting card about farts.
They're wild and insane, and everybody loves Daigo. After an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still maintain that Kyoryuger is better than Gosager, but it's not very substantial.
It has better mecha than Gosager.
That's not hard.
It had things. No one had as... No one had as long neck as that guy, except for the Bronchiosaurus, the silver one.
Oh, the Plesiosaur?
That's right.
Alright, so Gaim, then. 24?
I think that's where we left off.
Who should I pick to cover it? Paladin.
Shit.
No.
Should have seen this coming, shouldn't I?
No, it's Ken.
Okay. So, when last we left Baron, he was... Wait, wasn't he helping the Tokyo? Okay, apparently that does not sync up.
He did.
He went back to get another ass kicking, apparently.
Well, that's what he does.
Yes. So we find
that's all he does.
So we join the wild Baron in his natural state, getting his ass kicked by the Red Overlord, and he gets his ass kicked quite thoroughly. He's very
even by Kaito standards.
Yeah, even by Kaito standards, he is very skilled at this. Other riders, you know, do they get better at fighting? They get better powers. Kaito just gets better at having his ass handed to him.
He stands at the top of ass kickings.
He is a very good jobber.
Yeah. Luckily, he gets saved by Yoko, who does not fare.
Who has her lock seed back, so hooray.
Yeah.
Well, it's a new one.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
She uses her charge attack with her bow, but while it doesn't stop the Overlord, she doesn't, you know, stay there to get her f***ing ass kicked. She distracts him long enough for them to get the hell out of there. Because she is
smart. Kaito is upset about that.
Of course he is.
He was, of course, he was busy getting his ass handed to him. That's important that he gets that done.
Yes, it was for research. I mean, that was the only way he knows how to get it. That is literally what he says.
And, he likes it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or it was the easiest way for him. And Minato's just there kind of like...
Moron.
Asshole. What is Ryoma thinking? But they are being peered upon by another Overlord. A green one.
They come in flavors too.
Apparently.
Apparently everything in Helheim does.
Then we join Michi and Mai, and I don't even know what the f*** is going on in this scene.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that Michi is a creeping card.
I think we have established this point by now.
Yeah, it's a little, there's flower petals, and he's... Michi creeps me out. I love the character,
yeah.
But he creeps
me out. Barely even hiding it anymore.
No.
Were they ever?
Well, this entire episode is about how much of a bastard is he becoming. And he, like, unsubtly tries to see if Mai likes Kota like that. Very unsubtly. Luckily, Mai's not smart enough to pick up on it.
Mai? Not smart enough?
Yeah.
Remind me again why he's into her?
He...
Well, because Michi wants to be the smart person in control of other people. And who'd be easier to control than the stupidest person you could find?
Oh, yeah.
Also, he's like 14. He doesn't have control over anything.
Meanwhile, he's wandering past school and gets called.
Hey, remember that? That was a thing.
By one of his classmates. And, you know, what the hell has he been doing? He thought he was supposed to be rivals. And then he's just like, dude, you don't even.
You're an idiot.
You don't even f***ing know.
And the entire time the guy he's talking to is just rolling his eyes like, like it's the 50th time that he's heard that entire speech.
and he's so melodramatic about
it. He's like,
do you even have the power to control your own fate? Do you know where you'll be in 10 years? Most important thing
in life. You insolent fool, you dare speak to me when you know not of what the future holds for thee?
The most important thing in life is to have power to give and to take away. And then the guy's just like, oh, God, Kirishima, never mind.
It's like Mitchie's over here giving a Dr. Doom speech. Remember why, had he tried that, there'd been a squad of jocks to wail on him like 30 seconds later.
Yes. Meanwhile, Kota is feeling a bit better after all his angst.
And Jezzer sighting on the roof.
Yes. And trying out the Jimba Peach. Which he's confused about at first because he doesn't feel any, you know, excess power like with Lemon or speed like with Cherry. And then he finds out he has Superman hearing.
What I love about this is Kota's smart enough to realize maybe I should test these powers out before I need them in a pinch in battle.
You know, like, unlike most writers who, like, wait till the climactic moment of a fight to figure out how to use their powers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even if it is kind of toy silly, it's nice that he figured this out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like that they gave him a reason to actually use the, Jimba Peach, even though he has Kachidoki.
Yeah. Oh, this does something my other armor does not.
Exactly. But then he overhears Michi. just kind of bitching about Kota, but it doesn't really faze him any.
And he has to yell at Michi from the rooftop.
And the bad thing is, it's like, that's just like, Michi's just like, mumbling to himself on the street corner. Like a f***ing Coda, idiot.
He must be talking about another Coda. Could it be me? Best friend.
Oh, man.
Also, is this not the same rooftop he was on when he went into Wizard's Hole?
It's the rooftop at Toei Studios.
That would require me of having to have seen those episodes, which I did not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Toei rooftop.
It's Wizard.
I'm actually sorry for bringing up Wizard. I am sorry I brought the show.
You should be.
Those were more decade episodes than Wizard episodes.
Okay, let's tell ourselves that.
So, Kota then proceeds to tell Michi his entire plan and everything that's happened, really. Good job, Kota. Because he trusts Michi.
Good job, Kota.
He would never betray Kota. Ever. But he does make a good point. Kota is like, are you sure he's not just using you?
And he does leak that DJ Sagara is the one who gave him the Kachidoki seed.
Yeah, well, like I said, he tells him everything. And the funny thing, though, is he also tells Kota, you just let yourself be manipulated. And it's like, dude, isn't that what you're trying to... Okay.
Well, he would know better than anyone else.
He would! You know, as much of a shit stain as he is kind of like the most fun character to watch in this show sometimes.
And
just because...
Magenta's mentioned that he's the most fun to write.
I can imagine! Because the way he talks to himself and the way he talks to Kota are two entirely different things. Like, he'll warn me if something bad's going to happen. Old buddy.
Yeah.
Old buddy, old pal.
Pat you on the back.
It reminds me of pretty much any time Malcolm is talking to anyone else in Cyber Squad. Just the full utter content.
Okay, now I'm picturing Zangetsu voiced by Tim Curry.
So now we're playing information telephone as Michi goes to tell Yggdrasil what Kota has told him, at least parts of it. Important parts. But he still leaves enough out to kind of keep his brother in the dark, but actually clue in Cid, Ryoma, and Minato.
And they're okay, first of all, yeah, how would he know it? There's no way that Kota would figure that out on his own, but how would Sagara know this stuff?
Yeah, and the thing is, the way Michi watches them, he's like, they don't react enough that Takatora doesn't pick up on it because Takatora, but it's enough that Michi is like, okay, I see what y'all's game is.
It's when he mentions the overlords that they're like, what?
he makes certain not to mention them by name. Meanwhile, speaking of the overlords, Green and Red are having a chat, and Green's picking up on language pretty quickly. Then a golden snake slithers up and forms into DJ Sagara cosplaying as Alibaba.
Speaking of Green picking up on the language, I forget who I saw mention this on Twitter, but how is he learning the phonetic pronunciation of Japanese from a book?
Sorry.
It's not like there have been humans wandering around in the forest the entire show so far.
If they picked up on that, they would think that what's his name, Baron's grunts when he's getting punished are probably language too.
Although speaking of language, someone has gone to the trouble of translating their language for us. So that's also a heavy spoiler, but here, go ahead and check it out if you want.
It is pretty much Grongi, but just using a different cipher.
Let's not talk about what they're talking about, though, because I want to keep that kind of...
Well, there's a few things you can probably pick up on without reading the translations.
All you need to know is it's spoilers. Much like all the Grongi dialogue.
If I end up doing that, I apologize right now. DJ Sagara's other avatar form being a snake after he's offered Koga the forbidden fruit,
That's pretty blatant. Maybe Michi's right. Actually, Michi's right a lot of times. It's the scary part. But yeah, so something's definitely going on there. Meanwhile, Sid's all kind of meh until Ryoma gives him his Lockseed back. And he brightens up. Time to go kill a teenager again.
And he whips out another Lockseed. The Sid Lockseed.
Yes.
Because remember, that exists.
Yes. Meanwhile, Kaito...
Remember, this is a thing that exists. Buy the toy.
Meanwhile, Kaito comes upon Mai dancing, and Mai is utterly clueless to everything going on.
Mai is dancing to a crowd of herself and does not notice Kaito walking up in the mirror she's looking into.
Kaito. But yeah.
She was oblivious to someone she was looking at walk up behind her.
Yes. But Kaito is talking like a supervillain again. Which is basically the summation of that conversation. He's becoming Dr. Doom. Only Dr. Doom that never wins.
Dr. Banana.
Kota!
Kaito is still completely convinced of his own superiority in spite of about 10 ass-kickings so far in the series. At least.
What is his win-loss ratio? What's his kill-death ratio?
He lost to Kurakagi and Radon.
The only times he's won, I think, are not counting against the lower level ones, because those don't count, are when he's been teamed up with Kota, I think. And I'm not counting when he quote-unquote beat Sid, because Sid then came back 5 minutes later and kicked his ass again. So, it's pretty poor.
Yeah.
He got his ass handed to him by the mole.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other mole.
That should really give you a hint is that you're really weak is when the drag queen has more wins to them their credit than you.
Yeah, but I mean, Bravo is, you know, trained. He is military.
That's true, but when a show gives more respect to a drag queen than you.
When a Japanese show gives more respect to one.
Yes.
Kota is
in any show.
Even Knuckles won more, and he's using the mass production.
And he's appeared 3 times. Regardless, Kota's in Helheim, trying to seek out the overlords, and listening for them. And he hears unfamiliar language, so he's gonna go after that until Sid pops in. He's like, "Yo, bitch, sup?" And then he busts out 3 watermelon lockseeds, slots the Sid lockseed into his bow, and activates all 3 so that he can control them autonomously.
So that's what it does.
That's disappointing.
There might be more to it, depending on uses. Regardless, now it's time to. So, beforehand, the most powerful thing in Kota's arsenal was the watermelon lockseed. Thus, he breaks out Kachidoki arms and completely annihilates all 3 of them.
It was awesome.
It kind of was, actually.
And then he switches over to Jinba Cherry just to rub salt in Sigar's wound.
And run him over, in fact. But it is an impressive fight scene, despite a couple of shoddy bits of effects work, mostly when one of them blows up. But it's just like
this isn't even his final form.
Yes.
Yeah. And he is so far beyond every other writer in the show in terms of power right now. It's a good thing we have new villains. So he makes it to
That he slips the DJ sword over his regular sword like it's a condom or something. Slowly slides it in and rolls it over it.
And it was so nice of Arms Change to actually include that feature, too.
Yeah.
We used to have the Fab sword, now it's the condom sword. I can't wait for the ejaculate sword. Wait, Seth's sword had that.
Yes.
Ew.
Oh, God.
So...
He stands at the top of ejaculating swords.
So he switches back to Peach. So he switches back to Peach when she hits this cave. And then he runs into the green overlord, who can speak brokenly. And the red overlord, who promptly starts going, starting to treat him like Baron. AKA his bitch. And apparently all the red one wants is a toy.
The last one apparently wasn't all that fun.
Yeah.
Broke right away.
Yes. Because they're very, very bored. And suddenly you're getting the idea that coming into this forest and searching for them probably is the worst idea possible. Just probably.
Well, at least for the red one.
No shit.
I thought the message was we should go out and buy more toys.
The green one probably would just give him a list of stuff to get from a library or something.
Regardless, Kota doesn't even have time to try and switch out the Kachidoki, and just gets his ass kicked until he's hanging upside down, and then they drop him on his head.
But it's okay.
Thankfully, before the tentacles can do any real damage.
Paladin's bad. Okay. You cut off Giga Beetle.
But it's okay. Bad Paladin.
Bad me.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, say it.
No.
Damn it, we've ruined the Giga Beetle joke. We're terrible people.
You are!
I was just going to say, he's had practice having things dropped on his head. He has a f***ing orange that keeps dropping on his head. And I swear to f***ing God, I went back to the first episode. He's gotten f***ing shorter. Like, Kodai's shrinking. Like...
Well, after those things slammed down onto your head over, like, 30 times, I mean...
A couple of episodes, he sat across his sister at the table, and it looked like she could pick him up with one hand.
Anyway... There's
so tiny.
The episode ends with Kota doing his best Kaito impersonation. And next week, it is...
Lauren's back! And hey, somebody finally found the Gridon suit again. Because he has not transformed since, what, episode 11?
Well, not for lack of trying.
This is the point.
This time he's finally chosen wisely.
After he cross-dresses himself, apparently. So, hey...
Yeah, and no spoilers, but the next episode is f***ing amazing.
Yes.
Good. I haven't had a chance to download it yet. I
have not seen it yet.
F***ing amazing.
Gaim is a super serious show, guys.
Do you like Bravo?
Yes.
You will love this episode.
Who doesn't like Bravo? Horrible.
Anyone who has to pay the middleman fee?
But
I'm paying the middleman fee because I like Bravo.
Oh, there you go.
We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers! I hear Lord Zedd is bragging again. It's time to turn up the power. Activate the Talking White Ranger.
Rangers, power!
That ought to keep Lord Zedd quiet for now. Talking White Ranger and Talking Lord Zedd from Bandai, turning up the power.
Mr. Bucket!
That's right, I'm Mr. Bucket. I'm Mr. Bucket. Toaster bowls in my top, I'm Mr. Bucket. Out of my mouth and will pop, I'm Mr. Bucket. Walk in a run, I'm Mr. Bucket.
The game's Mr. Bucket. The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out, because the balls will pop out of his mouth.
I'm Mr. Bucket. The balls pop out of my mouth. I'm Mr. Bucket. A ball is what I'm about. I'm Mr. Bucket. We're all going to run. I'm Mr. Bucket. Bucket the fun.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
What's on the man?
All right, we are back, and we're Power Playback this week. We're doing Bioman again because nobody had any better ideas after like 3 weeks.
It's like saying Bioman's a bad idea when it's at least an episode that we haven't already done.
And therein lies the problem, it seems.
The episode we chose to redo, the rerun, was actually a really good episode, so... But no, this week we did episode 28, The Assassination of Dr. Man.
For the Big Three!
For the Big Three. And
Giga, how about you take this one?
How about I don't take this one? No, oh, really, don't. Really, don't. I don't want to. I've seen it, but no.
Okay. Any other takers, or should I take it?
I didn't watch this, unfortunately.
You seem to do best with Bioman, because you...
Because I love Bioman with all my heart and soul.
You would probably be best, honestly.
Yeah, my power went out like 4 times this morning, so eventually I decided, yeah, this download ain't happening.
God damn it, Detroit.
But, you know, Detroit is good for one thing.
Garbage?
No.
It's not very good for garbage. It's all on fire.
It's all about Electric Six.
Mm-hmm. Did I send you that Facebook link, by the way?
Yes, I need to record those words.
Okay.
Alright, Bioman, episode 28, The Assassination of Dr. Man. So, Mason, Farrah, and Monster are hanging out in a cave, I guess? It's dark. It's kind of confusing. But they've sort of come to the realization, hey, wait a second here. We're mecha-humans fighting to kill all the humans. But Dr. Man is a human. This is bullshit.
We have 28 episodes to realize this.
Mecha humans aren't terribly smart.
Hell yes.
So they decide, well, let's kill Dr. Man. And Monster needs a little bit of convincing, so they have to ask him like twice before he says, okay, sure. So back at the secret evil lair of Dr. Man, he's walking around after putting a load of laundry in the dryer or something. And he's about to walk upstairs when Monster suddenly stabs him in the gut. With a sword.
Oh, that was...
Well, that was quick, then. What's next week?
It's really kind of a bitch way to assassinate someone. Is that a stab?
It was the best assassination.
So it's the Connor way, then.
As much as I hate to jump on the meme bandwagon, it's very much a Hail Hydra kind of moment.
It is the most impressive assassination since Caligula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stab.
Yep, so stab, and then Mason and Farrah shoot him with their cartoon laser bolts.
Kaboom!
Zip!
And Dr. Man lies down on the floor going, you betrayed me, Big Three. And all I can think of really is like, dude, that silver face paint does not look healthy. You probably don't have much longer to live anyway. Because it's like he's painting his face with cancer and mercury. So the Big Three come up to the control room and they decide, you know what, Dr. Man's out of the way. It's time for us to kill all the humans now. Which they've kind of been doing anyway. But the rest of the crowd agrees with an enthusiastic, for the Big Three.
But hey, you know, you with him down, that's one less.
Yeah, that is more people.
Only 6 billion to go.
So they sent out their fighter jets to go strafe some babies in carriages. I don't know.
Well, there was the escaping grunt.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, yes. That's when they find the note with Dr. Man's secret dead man switch plan. Where if anything happens to him, the first mecha clone human is going to go activate Dr. Man's super secret ultra destructo weapon for his revenge. Which...
Okay. I like that one mecha clone is like, help me, and their first response is to beat the shit out of it.
I like how silly this mecha clone can talk.
Yes. And have feelings and sweat.
Yeah, so
that's not sweat. Look at how beat up the thing is.
Oil.
It's leaking all over the place.
It's brain matter. So the mecha clone conveniently crash lands near the Biomen, who are just completely befuddled by it. The concept of a mecha human that's not punching them just kind of blows their minds. They seriously do not know how to handle this situation. Thankfully, the Big Three and a bunch of goons show up on the cliff, and they can handle that because it's clear they have to punch them.
Yeah.
So, we get a nice little fight scene. And by nice, I mean They certainly are in another quarry.
Meh.
There's well, a lot of monsters.
Did you really expect much else by now?
Well, yes, but we'll get to that later. Thankfully, Yellow Four gets to shoot a bunch of dudes in the heart with arrows, which is still awesomely brutal.
Yes, it is. They traded up.
I love how Yellow Four just, like, casually murders the shit out of people on a regular basis. It's not cartoon violence. Like, hey, kids, you could do this with a real bow and arrow. Try it at home.
It that seems funnier because her predecessor just got, you know, shot to death.
Shot to death?
Yes.
Not really. She's not the one they were shooting at. She just jumped in the way of all the bullets.
Four Max.
Yellow Four.
Old Yeller Four.
So the Biomen take out the grunts, leaving the big three to stroke a giant suggestive rocket and say, we've got to find out what the secret weapon is. Meanwhile, inside a very cool-looking cave, there's a really odd-looking shot of them, the Bioman looking into the cave through this like triangle-shaped crack in the wall. Which leads me to my point of, Bioman has a lot of really awesome sets they film in. Or not sets, but locations, rather. More than most other Sentais, especially recently, that's recycled the same places over and over again, Bioman went to a lot of really interesting-looking places.
Yeah.
And then never went back again, unfortunately, for Sentai.
Maybe they misbehaved and they weren't invited back.
They broke stuff.
This was like a school trip.
Yeah, like Yellow Four.
Blew it up.
They left loaded squibs, and a school field trip came by afterwards, and, well.
That's actually why you never hear from Yellow Four's actress anymore.
They actually blew her up. So, the Bioman stumble across Mechahuman number one, slowly, slowly crawling across about a yard of sidewalk, going on and on again. How it's my destiny. I must find the secret weapon of Dr. Man for his revenge. It's my destiny. He must have his revenge with his secret weapon. And the Bioman are still completely confused as to what the f*** is going on.
Rightfully so.
Pink, however, is the first one to decide, you know what? We should really help this Dr. Man get his secret weapon going. That's a good idea. If Dr. Man's got a secret revenge weapon in case he dies, that's something we want to help trigger.
How very Pink Ranger of her.
The rest of the team doesn't seem to be on board with this, but eventually Red One decides, I'm going to help out Pink just so I don't look like a dick.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team has no choice but to follow. So,
I feel sorry for I feel kind of sorry for this suit actor that's playing the Mecha Clone because he's just falling all over the damn place the whole episode.
Yeah, and like no one's really trying to help him very much.
No.
Like when he comes in to help pick him up, like she sort of like puts her arms around him, but it's still his job to fall out of them.
Maybe they're breaking in the new intern.
Maybe they're just dicks.
Well, they're not the Die Rangers. So they make their way through the cave until eventually they come across the cave's super secret papier-mâché wall with a techno panel, which I guess the tour just glosses right over. Mm-hmm. But they go inside to find... How do I describe this?
Technicolor crosses?
It's like if you crossed a graveyard... Yeah. With a traveling carnival skee-ball machine. You had five crosses with colored lights and I think cotton candy dispensers attached to the front of them. Which apparently this is the secret weapon of Dr. Man.
It frightens me that I'm not fazed at all by that description.
Well, it's Bioman. So the cotton candy... The cotton candy dispenser machines come out and latch onto the butts of four of the Biomen and accidentally make a clone number one. Whoops.
This was an awesome weapon in case you ever were to be opposed by five people ever.
Only five. Good thing this wasn't in the 90s.
Right. So
his plan could have been foiled by there being just one more, and there was.
Or missing one of them. Whoops.
What if one of them didn't work? Like the tentacle rape launcher didn't work. One of the Christmas lights were out or something.
Yes,
light goes out, they all go out.
I also like how after the thing blows up, like it just the tentacle just lays on the floor. It's done. It's a one use thing.
It's in its refractory period.
Oh God.
But Mecha Clone Number One decides, no, I've got to save them from the Big Three, and he tries to leave the device, and he blows the f*** up.
Wasn't this the plot of one of the Saw movies?
All of the Saw movies.
Oh, right.
So, about this time, the TV turns on, and oh shit, it's Dr. Mann! He's not dead! And so the Big Three question, wait, we killed you. And his response is, yeah, you killed my life model decoy. I knew what you were up to. I wasn't buying it. So basically, the whole assassination was just a big fool you on them. So, with the Big Three on the run from the resurrected Dr. Mann or whatever, Red One decides to run to Peebo and get help. Peebo tells him that these carnival crosses are being run by the octopus robot outside through the power of his eye. Which, that's just so incredibly Showa. That's Showa logic at its finest.
Yeah.
So, Red One, being the excellent bioman that he is, lights his sword on fire, throws it through the robot's eye from the ground, because he's Red One and he's f***ing awesome. Which frees the bioman.
And that really was a good last weapon.
This plan's a little convoluted.
Yeah, well,
it's a very Showa plan.
Yes, it certainly is. So, freed, the bioman summoned the bio dragon, and now they can fly through the air to get on board. That's new. I thought, didn't they usually take the bio escalator up to it?
Sentai.
Okay, yes. But it's time for Bio Robo, which that means the episode's almost over because we're about away from finishing this shit.
I like when it smashes on the head, you can just see the costume just kind of flatten.
Awesome. Yes, which brings us to this, which is, oh shit, the bio-robot doesn't work on this monster. Its punches and kicks just cause it to deflate.
It's like punching a real octopus.
Yeah.
Why would you
so how do you kill a real octopus?
Flash punch photography.
How do you kill an octopus? Like,
well, usually you just eat its balls.
That's actually a good question. I haven't thought of that. How would you kill an octopus?
With a sword, apparently.
No, but seriously, like in real life.
A sword?
Do you boil them? Alive, like lobsters? Aren't they smart? Wouldn't they know what was going on? Do you just shoot them?
And we lost Giga.
Oh!
The octopus has got him.
They heard us talking about him.
For Sweden than us.
Are there octopuses in Sweden?
Sure.
Probably not on the land. Maybe in the water, though. Should we wait for you?
Well, he definitely is our XV.
Maybe Giga needs to wax his cow.
Are you back, Giga?
Yes. Sorry.
Hey!
I didn't mean to halt the podcast, sorry.
Do you have octopuses?
It ground to a complete stop.
Oh god, I'm sorry.
But octopuses, Sweden, yes or no?
What about them?
Are they there?
In the water, maybe.
But not on the land?
No. Spiders are kind of like land octopuses if you think about it.
That makes
think about it.
Octopuses like water spiders?
Think about it more, Ken.
Christ, there are octopuses in Detroit, but they're usually just on the ice.
F***ing Detroit, how are you a real place? Octopuses on ice. Like, normal places get, like, ice dancers or, like, Disney on ice. Not octopuses on ice.
Well, speaking of octopuses, it's time for BioRobot to put this one on ice. Haha, puns.
Cool it down now.
So, the Bioman pull another power out of their ass, and now suddenly the BioRobot fires missiles out of its chest. And then it's time for Super Mazer. And it takes actually two Super Mazer swipes to kill the monster. So this was a tough one for them. It took them three real attacks before it died. Meanwhile, at Dr. Man's base, he's waving his ESTM wand at the three of the big three and electrocuting their nipples or something for pleasure.
Because he's into that.
Yep.
Gotta wave your wand at something.
Zap.
They're all older than 15, right?
Well, it depends when they're constructed.
They are robots.
So there it's illegal in some states.
Bioman episode 28. Happy birthday.
So yeah, that was a thing that happened.
Yep.
Thought it was cool.
Bioman is cool.
I kind of really want to watch Bioman now.
The first two episodes of Bioman are just like the best I've ever seen. Because they're unbelievably brutal. It's all faces and shotguns.
Buzz. And how much of it is left to be subbed?
It's in the 30s right now, so...
And it's all available to sub, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good at least.
Bioman is like a more accessible Sun Vulcan in terms of weirdness. Ken, are you yawning?
I thought that was a Fort Max yawn.
I know the podcast is boring, but you know, pretend that it's not. Pretend you're excited to be here.
Yay.
Very awesome. Good. Convincing.
Paladin?
What?
Oh, you're still around.
Wow, that sounded so disappointed.
So, next week, what are we going to make XV watch for punishing us by making me be him?
Yeah, Curiouser versus GoBusters probably is good punishment.
Probably is.
Well, there we go then.
Because one, it has kill roochers, and two, we'll never be seeing the GoBusters again after this.
What the f*** are you fiddling with, Ken? Yes!
What?
Are you sending out Morse code?
No help is coming, Ken. Are you trying to talk with birds or something?
What kind of birds would...
You can talk with birds with clicks.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What are you doing, Ken?
Nothing.
You trying to wake Smog?
Oh, hey, I know what we can talk about.
What?
Let's talk about grits.
Grit? Oh.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
That was the thing.
Yeah,
you said gremlins happened. What does that mean, exactly?
It means I didn't do anything. I have the box right here.
Oh, okay, so, like, they didn't get, like, thrown away by your mom, or you didn't, like, flush them on the toilet thing?
No, I haven't even opened them. I could eat powder, and that would be easy, and I'll be done with that, but that's not the same thing, because I have to eat this f***ing bullshit grits. What is it? Oatmeal? Like,
it's cornmeal.
What the f*** does that mean?
If you grind up dried corn, you can get grits or something.
Have you ever had cornbread?
No. I've had real bread. Have you? I'm sorry, Detroit. No, because I have them right here, and you got me a bunch of doubles.
Well, it was a full box.
Yeah. Just like cheddar cheese. Why the f*** would you have cheese on your f***ing corn? In your corn?
Because yep. Why not?
Because in the South, cheese goes on everything.
Original. What's an original? Corn?
Original means no extra flavorings. Just corn.
What? Okay, what's the deal with country bacon? What's that? What's the difference from regular bacon?
Extra salt.
No.
If it's country, that usually means more salt, more butter, or more grease.
Okay, or all of the above.
Yep.
I have four butters, but only two country bacon.
Yeah, they kind of screw you that way.
Yeah. Good job.
Now, the proper way to eat grits, ideally, I mean, you'll have to do this scientifically to try it with and without. That would be with a shitload of butter on it and salt to taste.
Well, that's where the instructions are. On the back.
He just gave you the damn instructions.
Yeah, but on how to do them. I can't just f***ing throw f***ing butter on this f***ing powder.
Sure you can.
But you could, but it'd be gross. Basically, do you have like a mug for hot cocoa?
No.
Like for coffee?
No.
Do you have a microwavable cup?
Yes.
Okay. Pour the grits in there, pour water, microwave for about a minute.
Yeah, I see that on the back of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit, all of them have instructions on the back. Good job. Like, I've been sitting with the box and I was looking at things on the internet to how to do them, and I was like, what the f***? These are the same ones as I have. So I got mad at them. Oh shit, this just got way easier.
Yeah, it's stupid easy. You can like do this while you take a pee.
Empty pocket into bowl. Pack it. I can't read.
Sorry.
What the f***? Also, what's a nice box you got me? It's like perfectly square.
Yeah, it was a neat box. I forgot where it came from.
Boxes are supposed to be square, aren't they?
No,
but it's like a perfect cube-shaped box.
Oh. It's awesome. You think boxes are usually a rectangle. This is awesome.
But rectangles are squares.
No, they're not. It's the other way around, you f***ing idiot.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Oh my god.
Does Detroit not have schools either?
Not paying ones.
I will never be invited to Detroit.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Nope. I just talk like a f***ing weirdo and it comes out weird. So there we go. Grits. Powder. Whatever. Like, seriously, I was mad at you because I thought you'd thrown away the package and left me to my own devices.
No. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, he would.
Not if I paid that much money to send him over to you.
18 cents.
18 cents?
No, wait, it's upside down. Oh, wow. Why the f*** did you pay this much?
That's how much it costs.
Why?
Because America sucks.
Oh.
But it's important that you experience grits.
Yeah, I also like that you wrote instant grit cereal on the actual declaration of what is inside.
I've never shipped anything internationally. I wasn't really quite clear on what to do there.
Better safe than sorry.
Usually you lie.
Heroin.
Yeah. I am shipping this powdery substance.
Yeah, it's sort of rough, so it's like black tar heroin.
Well, you know, I was kind of nervous because I was shipping a powder through the mail, which, you know, that generally draws attention, so I think I had better clarify. This is cereal. You're supposed to eat this.
This isn't cereal. Cereals are supposed to be like flakes, dude.
Dude.
cute.
Well, cereal has a broad connotation of meanings. Like, look at baby
cereal.
No,
it doesn't.
Yeah, look at infant cereals.
What the f***? What? Infants
shouldn't
eat
baby cereal?
No. Is it like mush?
Yeah, pretty much.
Usually.
Why not just call it baby mush?
Because it sounds better.
Snowflakes, that's cereal, right?
I don't think
what?
So.
No, nothing makes sense.
No.
I hate
here,
this.
Baby cereal.
Yep.
What the f***? That's just f***ing mush.
It's cereal that you make for babies.
Mush.
I mean, for babies, not from babies.
I don't know.
That kid is a ghost on the package, so maybe.
What do you think's in the cereal?
Babies. You kill the baby, you throw the flesh away and make McNuggets out of it, and then you use the bone, you ground it up, and you make this, right?
Yeah.
Wow! I just want to see that, like, as a cold open. Just that line. Doesn't even matter if Gig is an episode, just save it for later. Randomly just shove it in there.
Oh me.
Oh you.
Oh my.
Nobody oh, said anything my. About the paladin.
Well, I guess this was superhero time. Without XV.
And isn't that just super?
It's very regrettable.
You know, I don't think Paladin made a... The thing is, I don't think Paladin made a single train pun.
Yeah, I'm not having a good week.
Damn.
But we are as a result.
I wish I'd known that before I started wailing you about Detroit. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You can't make it any worse than it already is for being in Detroit.
Yes.
Actually, I don't even know if you're actually in Detroit or just Michigan in general, but I don't think it really matters.
I'm like 45 minutes away.
That's too close.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Are there any cities of similar shittiness in Sweden?
Yeah, everyone that I don't live in.
Oh. So basically, every place that's not the city you live in is just a crime-filled crime-filled shithole.
How the f*** did you mouth slur so much that Paladin coughed?
I have had a bottle of wine, so...
Okay.
Straight from the bottle?
No, because I like to fill the glass up at the very top, and then
sorry.
The wine down.
You said that very nicely there, Fort Max. Like, you had some sort of rhythm to it. Good job. Yeah.
Thank you, Giga, for being on the show with us. You saved it from mediocrity.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me, I guess. You're supposed to say that, because I know Dawn says that, and... Dawn.
Paladin, stop that when I talk.
Stop dying. You can die on your own time.
Is that she spelled D-A-W-N? He just pretends it's D-O-N.
Dawn.
You know, like the dish soap.
Nope, I don't know about that dish soap.
It's a soap for dishes.
Ah. Did you guys know there's a restaurant in Finland where they have the, what's it called, plates nailed to the table and then they just wipe it off with a cloth? That's Finland. Good job.
Don't they also have wooden shoes there?
That's Holland. Or the Netherlands.
What's the difference?
A lot of difference. Finland is crazy. Holland is all about the weed, man. Prostitutes. You'd probably feel all right at home there. I don't know if they do meth, though.
I think that's more of an American thing.
Maybe. Actually, yeah. Maybe. Someone told me they did meth in, like, the weird European countries like Bulgaria, I'd believe them. I don't want to say I don't trust Bulgaria, but I just did.
Whenever a country becomes more than 90% broken concrete, I tend not to trust them.
Yeah.
And most of Eastern Europe is kind of like that from what I've seen in the news.
I don't... I'm not a super fan of Eastern Europe.
Although technically, isn't Sweden kind of on the east half of Europe if you were like divided in half?
Yeah, but you would be an idiot if you did that. It's Western Europe.
It's always kind of assumed that you'd just be like considered Northern Europe.
I don't know how two directions. Like, holy shit, dude. I just learned like left and right like 3 years ago. I didn't know there was a difference. There's been a lot of mistakes made.
Two wrongs do not make a right, but three lefts do.
Sometimes. Wait. Yeah. That's a very nice saying, Mickey.
Did you have trouble remembering my name for a second?
I did. That's why I called what's his name Detroit in the beginning. I think I f***ed up Ken's name at some point. I didn't f*** up yours name, Fort Max, so good job, you.
Well, I am your favorite character, aren't I?
Top five, maybe.
Top five. Five.
Don't tell him, but it's top 10.
Oh, shit.
Besides, everyone knows Ken's my favorite character. Don't make that noise after I said that. It just sounds like you get off on someone being nice to you.
No, I was just stretching, that's all.
Oh, compliment me again, Giga.
Yeah, stretching, right.
It is good to stretch before you go in. I mean,
well, yes.
Just saying.
Good habits.
You don't want things to seize up on you.
Oh, no, never.
I learned that when I was taking ballet.
You took ballet?
I did. I f***ed up my ankles, so I can't do that anymore.
Do you have, like, creepy ballet people toes?
No. I didn't go that long.
Oh, okay.
Those are creepy. It's like the wrestler ears of the feet.
I was about to say, it's like the Detroit of toes.
Yeah. Some people have really disgusting toes.
Tell me about it. I see dead people, old people toes.
Ew.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
I'm on pushing 30.
Okay, I believe you.
Unfortunately, I've crossed the point where you round up. Damn it.
I'm so sorry.
I'm still not as old as Don.
Nobody is as old as Don.
Which makes it all the more weird that he's into.
Portions of this segment have been removed in accordance with recent content mandates.
Yes,
look, he says he's not.
Yeah, I know.
He keeps saying that he's not.
Nobody believes him. Wink.
I'm sure XP will edit all that out.
Oh,
somehow I doubt it.
I don't even dislike Don. I think he's cool. Cool might have been the wrong word choice, but... I think he's a person, maybe.
Don't trip over yourself with, you know, praise there, Giga.
This would be the good chant for you to say, bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, there you go.
Good job, me.
スーパーヒーロータイム、次回もよろしく。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.